Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I know I say this a bit, but at this time of year, a lot of the guys, the national guys especially, that I would be having on the show are getting ready for the playoffs and are writing their annual, you know, awards columns, and they're running all over the place. So it's a little tough to pin down people. But I promise as we get into the playoffs and some guys' schedules start getting a little bit lighter, we will fill those roles and fill those gaps a little bit better. We are also going to be heading into player review season. That'll probably get us through most of the playoffs. And then, you know, if big news happens, we'll obviously cover that as it happens. That's the nice thing about having a daily show. Today we are going to do something we haven't really done in quite a while. We are going to focus on some of the news, not really news, but the latest non-game stuff that has been going on. Jeannie Buss had some interesting comments, I thought, in a podcast where she talked about Luke Walton, she talked about Magic, and then LeBron had an interesting comment that I wrote up for Silver Screen and Roll about the role that he's going to play in you know, building the roster or recruiting and that stuff. So there's a ton of interesting stuff really to get to in the show. So let's just dive right in. I'm going to start with Jeannie, and I'll start with her comments about Magic. These were the ones that I thought came off a little. They were telling, but telling in not the most positive way. So she was asked about, you know, Magic and the job that they are doing this year and how things are going there. And she starts by saying, "We're tight as any two people, any two executives, and we have a mission and a purpose of what we want to do, and we're not done yet. But I think we're going in the right direction." And she continues about, you know, some of the stuff that was reported over the course of the year. There was a story that came out this season, and we've had our challenges this season. And it kind of made me doubt for a second time of the people that I was working with. And, you know, they come off as a little defensive, you know. And this is the same person who called the reporting during the trade deadline fake news and has also lambasted reporters for the Doc Rivers story. And then finally, she wraps up with, instead of calling the media who were reporting it, I sat down with the people that I work with and had face-to-face communication and realized that that was what we were dealing with in this day and age. That the stories come so fast and furious, they try to get you off base. And then they get you off from the direction that you're headed. And you've got to have faith in the people that you're working with and trust that communication, and that comes face-to-face time, because texting and email can lose context and tone. So, you need to look somebody in the eyes and really restore your faith and restore your direction, and that's important leadership. So, instead of, again, focusing on the stories themselves, she was now, it seems like, focusing on the leaks of those stories and who in her organization can she, you know, trust moving forward with that type of information. And, you know, I think you're focusing on the wrong thing there. The stories themselves, yes, they are unfortunate. They don't paint the Lakers in the best light all the time, but that's how you deal with stuff. Like you, these stories come out, and then you learn from those stories, and you make sure that those stories, not the leaks, but those stories don't happen again. Now, obviously, from her standpoint, she can't have this much information leaking out the way that it was. And Magic Johnson said heading into the year that the Lakers weren't going to leak, right? That's a funny conversation to listen back to. But for this specifically, for the idea of, you know, the stories that put the Lakers in a tough spot or in a negative light, that somehow it's more on her to focus on the leaks than actually fixing the actual issue and the lashing out at the reporting. That to me tells me that there still is an accountability void in the organization. And then, so I'm gonna take a quick second here, and when we come back, I want to go back up and talk about her comments on Magic Johnson, and then go back and talk about her comments on Luke Walton, because we're finding out a lot about Jeannie Buss and the priorities that she has. So hang tight. We'll be right back here in a second. All right, so she comes back, or one of the first things that she said there that we went over was, we, as in she and Magic Johnson, are as tight as any two executives, right? And my thing is, I don't care, right? I obviously care that they're on the same page and they have a nice working relationship, but I don't care that they're like best buds. And that was the thing at the time when Magic was hired, was this priority of surrounding yourself with her closest friends. And look, it's her organization. I am literally here to tell her how to run it, but I'm not here to I understand why she did this. From everything that I heard from the previous administration, the Jim Buss and the Mitch Kupchak era, and then even going back to the Jerry West era, I would imagine there were some legitimate scars with Jeannie. The engagement that fell through with Phil Jackson, which will come up here in a second, the lack of trust. We talked a bit about Lonzo Ball and LaVar Ball and how Lonzo was never going to be the same because one of the central figures in his life really let him down. And he's not going to be able to trust LaVar in the same way as a result. And I think when you look at Jeannie and the way that she operates and where it came from and how she got the power that she has, she had to kind of wriggle that power away from Jim Buss, her brother, right? And when you have a family member when that relationship with that family member falls and erodes in the way that did, and the way it eroded so publicly, remember at one point Jim Buss tried to coup the coup, right? Where Jeannie was within her right, trying to wrestle away the power, and was about to fire Jim Buss. And I believe Jim Buss called an emergency meeting, emergency board meeting, to vote on whether or not Jeannie was able to do all these things. And so it got really ugly there. And I think as a result, Jeannie was more focused on having people around her that she cared about and would not do that to her again, then she was focused on the actual best people for those positions. And now maybe those two things went hand in hand for her too, right? Where she thought, as a result of this trust that she's going to have in Magic Johnson, that working relationship was going to be able to grow, and maybe this front office would grow into one of the, you know, something to be proud of. It just hasn't gotten there so far. And you're seeing it here where even still she has trust issues with leaks that are coming out of the organization, some of which we know, by the way, are coming from the very top. They're coming from Magic. So it's going to be really interesting here. And then, you know, she went on and she was asked about Luke Walton. And her quotes about Luke, I thought, were also incredibly telling. Where she goes, she was asked about whether or not Luke was going to be back next year. She dodged that when she said she's not going to answer that. It's not really her place to answer it either, right? Though, again, if Jeannie is not saying, yes, he's back next year, I mean, the writing's been on the wall for a while, but now it's up there in permanent ink. Circled a few times, a couple underlines through it, under it as well. Luke is probably gone here within a matter of a couple weeks. And you know, this next quote from Jeannie really gets to, I think, why she was so protective over him. So, quote, there's a whole other chapter in my life where I was, for 15 years, the significant other of a coach in Phil Jackson. And Phil used to say, Bill Walton might have been Luke's dad, but Luke is my son, which reminds me, remember in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, right? He might be your father, but I'm your daddy. And then he, you know, but anywho, it was a very Star Wars-y kind of thing, Walton said, but Luke has always been someone, I think there was a typo there. Bus is saying all this stuff. I don't think Walton isn't chiming in here. But Luke has always been someone that he came to the Lakers as a rookie, the last year of Shaq and Kobe. So we kind of bridged the two Lakers teams in the Shaq-Kobe era and then what you would call the Kobe and Powell era. And he is somebody, I think, who doesn't even realize what a natural he is and that leadership he has in terms of getting people connected, people of all ages. And I think he's done a terrific job. So if you read between the lines there, you could kind of sort of do some math and see almost a motherly instinct with Luke towards or from Jeannie towards Luke. And again, it just comes back to familiarity seems to be the top priority with the Lakers right now as it pertains to the people who Jeannie Buss is interested in hiring. And, you know, we've known this, right? This isn't new information. But what that does is it gets – so the more closely you feel towards somebody on a personal level, the less likely you are going to be realistic and unbiased as it pertains to the professional aspect of this. Harrison and I are fortunate enough, and Pete and I have this same kind of relationship too, where yes, we care about each other as friends, and Harrison is like a little brother to me, really. But that's still not going to get in the way of our professional relationship and the priorities that we've set as professionals. And, you know, the fact that Harrison isn't literally my brother and Pete isn't literally my brother is going to help when those times come for tough decisions. And, you know, for Harrison, he had a tough decision to make professionally, and it led to him leaving the show, right? And Pete is going to have some decisions to make, and I'm going to have some decisions to make at the end of this season. And what it comes down to is I care deeply about everybody I'm working with and the colleagues of mine at Silver Screen and Roll, the colleagues of mine here at the show and across Locked On Network. But professionally, this show, you guys come first. And one of my concerns here with the way Jeannie is managing things is that might not necessarily be the case. She might be too close to be unbiased and make some of these tough calls when it comes time to make them. And you know, one thing that we've seen over the course of this season, it's been, you know, one of the more widely reported things is Jeannie is really Luke's strongest and last supporters in the Lakers organization. And I kind of sort of can't help but feel like it's because of how she feels about him personally, as well as, you know, now she has provided reasons that you know, she doesn't want to keep cycling through coaches. I would imagine as an owner, she probably doesn't want dead money on the books, as she will when they fire Luke Walton this upcoming summer. But I also think it has a lot to do with this familiarity, the trust that she has with Luke, that she's not sure she's going to have with whomever Magic hires. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, chances are Magic isn't going to hire somebody that Jeannie has this affinity for, in the same way she does with Luke. And will she have the same patience there, right? And if the person that Magic hires is not good, will Jeannie regard her affinity, her personal feelings towards Magic as a higher or a lower priority than what is best for the Lakers. And this, to me, is going to be probably, you know, maybe the most important dynamic moving forward for the entirety of the Magic Johnson era. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm going to take another quick second here, and we come back. I want to talk about LeBron's comments that also struck me as interesting, especially regarding, you know, the role he's going to play in acquiring superstar free agents. All right, so LeBron starts by saying, and this is by way of Howard Beck of Bleacher Report, he starts by saying, I quote, "I've never played fantasy basketball, but I will be as active as I need to be for this franchise to get better. That's why I came here. I came here to win, and obviously we need to get better as far as our personnel. We have an opportunity to get better, and there's a lot of talent out there and a lot of guys that can help our franchise. So I'll be active as I need to be for us to get better and go from there." He continues, "It's a critical summer for myself. Obviously, the franchise is going to live forever, but for me personally, it's very critical because I want to compete and I want to compete now. So it's very critical to me and my future. And I'm positive and I'm very optimistic that Magic and Rob and the franchise will be great." And, you know, he also had a comment about, you know, free agents wanting to play with them because there have been not so much whispers as yells throughout this year about superstars maybe not wanting to play with LeBron. But, you know, what it all comes down to me, now we can roll our eyes and kind of chuckle when he says he's never done the whole personnel thing. Like, LeBron, you were the GM in Cleveland, and then in Miami, part of your reasoning for leaving was because they didn't listen to you when you wanted to bring back Mike Miller, right? So on that level, fine, you know, we can have our fun with that. But to me, what's interesting here is this central role, like he's announcing it, right? Last summer when he first came to the Lakers, it was seen as a partnership that he had with Magic. But he was still very passive when he said, look, the front office is going to do the front office stuff. I'm just going to play backseat. I'm going to take a backseat to entrust these guys whom I've partnered with, right? And it didn't work. Right. It didn't work to the extent where he literally blew a raspberry. Right. He was asked by, I think it was McMenamin, about how he felt about this experiment of not having shooters around him and relying on ball handlers and stuff. And I think he literally went right like that. We have Pete and I have rolled our eyes all season long at this idea of passive aggressive LeBron. And to see him take more of an aggressive role here in saying that, no, actually, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna recruit if we have to. We do need to get better. It's important for me. Him acknowledging that this is important for his legacy and it's important to compete as soon as possible. That's something that it's a good thing for us to hear. Now, where that gets interesting is, will Magic and Pelinka be okay with this, right? Are they all on the same page? And by extension of that, is Genie on the same page in regards to everything that's going on the basketball operations side? And, you know, we heard some whispers over the course of the year that some people in the Lakers weren't comfortable with the amount of power that LeBron and his camp were trying to wield over the organization. And if LeBron is now openly stating, no, I'm actually going to play a central role here. I'm actually going to try to impact the direction of the Lakers. And I'm going to go so far as to offer up a fart noises analysis of the way that this roster was built. It's going to be interesting how those people who are already uneasy are going to react to that. But my thing is, and this has always been my thing, I don't care who is responsible for it. It would have been cool if it was Magic who played a central role as this iconic figure who came back and saved the Lakers and brought them back to relevance. But that isn't how it looks like it's going to play out. He's going to need a little bit of help. And I don't, you know, unlike Jeannie, I don't care how close these friends are. And the idea that anybody would care that Jeannie and Magic are best buds, like, that's not in the business sector. Like, that's not how things work. Nobody cares about those personal relationships. They just want working professional ones so the team that they are rooting for happens to continue to get better. And that should be everybody who's working with the Lakers. That should be their top priority. It shouldn't be passing off accountability by way of getting everybody, like, I've been hearing a lot of, you know, get ready for it, the exit interviews, blaming injuries, right? Well, that's not productive. And the reason people would blame those injuries is because they don't want to take accountability for the mistakes that they made, right? LeBron offering up that fart noise and saying that the injury got in the way of his abilities as a leader, right? That's passing off some accountability for the way that his season went. Like, it got to the point where they had a players-only meeting to tell LeBron, stop being a dick, dude, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see how all of these things come to pass. And I thought it was particularly, you know, this is one of those days that I did a lot of writing for Silver Screen and Roll, and I wrote up a lot of the aggregation of these quotes. So that played a role in this. But I found it interesting that all of these quotes, and they're not going to stop, by the way, all of these quotes, you know, framing certain sides of the story are coming out now, and they're going to keep getting louder and louder and louder as the frustrations of the fan base continue to get louder and louder and louder. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was fun. When Pete comes in tomorrow, I'll run some of these quotes by him and see how he feels about them. Obviously, there's a Laker game that he and I will try to react to. But this was fun talking about some when you see these quotes, you probably don't think much about them, but to me, they paint an interesting image of what we can get ready for as these next few months come to pass. So have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.